It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
News breaking overnight of U.S. Special Forces conducting a major counterterrorism raid in northwestern Syria near the Turkish border on Thursday. First responders said 13 people were killed, including six children, in what appeared to be the largest such U.S. operation since the 2019 assault that killed Islamic State leader al-Baghdadi. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby said, quote, the mission was successful with no U.S. casualties. Early reports suggested the target was believed to be an al-Qaeda leader. Close. President Biden clarified later, saying that the raid killed ISIS leader Abu Ibrahim al-Hashimi al-Qurayshi in Syria. While we're on the subject of military deployments, the president has also approved sending 3,000 more U.S. troops to Poland, Germany, and Romania to support the defenses of European allies. But some in the Army might instead be going home. The U.S. Army announcing Wednesday that it will immediately begin discharging some 3,300 soldiers who've refused orders to get vaccinated against COVID-19. According to an Army memo dated January 31st, commanders must immediately begin, quote, involuntary administrative separation proceedings against any soldier who has, quote, received a lawful order to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19, has been provided a reasonable opportunity to receive the COVID-19 vaccination, has made a final declination of immunization, and does not have a pending or approved medical or administrative exemption. The Army is the last branch of the armed forces to begin discharging unvaccinated service members. The Marine Corps, Navy, and Air Force have discharged a combined total of almost 600, that according to the Associated Press. Lots of shock at CNN, where its president, Jeff Zucker, resigned on Wednesday after admitting that he failed to disclose a romantic relationship with one of his chief lieutenants. Zucker said the information about his, quote, consensual relationship with his closest colleague, that being CNN Executive Vice President Allison Gullist, came out during an internal investigation into Chris Cuomo, the host that was fired by CNN in December, over his involvement in the response of his brother, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, to sexual harassment allegations that forced him from office. Zucker said he was required to disclose the relationship, quote, when it began, but I didn't, I was wrong. Both Zucker and Gullist are divorced. Gullist, who plans to continue working at CNN, said that she and Zucker were friends for 20 years, but their relationship changed during COVID. Well, yesterday we told you that at least 19 historically black colleges and universities received bomb threats on the first day of Black History Month, no less. Well, the FBI on Wednesday identified six juveniles described as tech-savvy as persons of interest in what appear to be racially motivated bomb threats. Howard University in Washington, D.C. and other schools received threats both Monday and Tuesday. Investigators said persons of interest around the country are suspected of using sophisticated methods to hide the source of the threats. Well, first, they turned over Trump's records. Now the National Archives will turn over the records of former Vice President Mike Pence to the committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol as early as next month. This despite the former guy saying he wanted to keep those documents secret. This is the first set of records related to Pence's office that the Archives has cleared for release. The letters show tension over what may be key communications about the insurrection at the Capitol and Pence's overseeing the Electoral College certification in Congress, which Trump wanted to stop. Pence's team is cooperating with the investigation. Separately, former Department of Justice official Jeffrey Clark and his attorneys met with the House Select Committee for nearly 2 hours yesterday, 2 months after the panel voted to hold him in contempt for his lack of cooperation. And, oh no, here we go again. More than 100 million people are under winter weather alerts across at least 25 states, stretching from the Mexican border to New England, as yet another massive winter storm pummels much of the U.S. More than 20 inches of snow have already piled up in Colorado Springs, while parts of Illinois and Indiana have been inundated with around a foot of snow. Dangerous travel conditions grounded more than 2,300 U.S. flights on Wednesday, and thousands more have already been canceled for Thursday. Meanwhile, the price of natural gas is soaring, causing a spike in home heating costs as millions of Americans are turning up the heat to try to stay warm. In Texas, a state that has legitimate worries about its power grid holding up, Senator Ted Cruz released a checkpoint list for being prepared, spurring a storm of online shaming, most messages including references to Cancun. And on second thought, maybe Canada isn't that much of a panacea for Americans. Canadian truckers have been protesting COVID-19 health restrictions by staging a blockade of 18-wheelers in Ottawa. Police declared the week-long assembly an unlawful occupation of the country's capital and say they're looking at, quote, every single option, including military aid, to bring the situation to an end. The truckers are part of the so-called Freedom Convoy and are protesting a recent mandate requiring drivers entering Canada to be fully vaccinated or face testing and quarantine requirements. The group is also protesting against other health restrictions like mask mandates and COVID-19 lockdowns. The dozens of trucks are blocking traffic and forcing businesses in the area to shut down. And that's pretty bad. But then there's Florida, where a Senate committee advanced a 15-week abortion ban in the state, despite pleas from doctors to make a decision rooted in science and to consider the ramifications for patients. Instead, during the hearing, the committee voted down an amendment that would make exceptions for victims of rape and incest. You'll never believe this one. Rudy Giuliani, you know, the embattled lawyer who tried to help Donald Trump overthrow the results of the 2020 presidential election, well, he's apparently taken a gig as a contestant on the Fox TV show, The Masked Singer. Deadline and TMZ reporting that when Giuliani removed his disguise and revealed himself to the judges during a taping for the upcoming season, Ken Jeong and Robin Thicke walked off the stage in protest. And finally, yesterday, Graham Nash, who was celebrating his 80th birthday, announced that he was standing with his former bandmate Neil Young, removing his solo music from Spotify. Now, the rest of the former Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young have stepped up as well, with David Crosby and Stephen Stills joining in and asking for Spotify to remove all of the band's music as well because of the streaming platform's continued support of podcaster Joe Rogan. In a statement, they said, "While we always value alternate points of view, knowingly spreading disinformation during this global pandemic has deadly consequences." And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.